else who is inside here. We are about to start our meeting today. Before we start the meeting, let me wish everybody in advance a happy Christmas and a prosperous New Year. I am doing this in case when we get out of this house, we don't see eye to eye, and then I don't have time to say happy Christmas and happy New Year. So I think it is going to be proper if I do it in advance, now that we understand each other. Today, honorable members, we are in front of our agenda. We are to see the board and Mr. Anuj Singh. Honorable members, I don't want to restrict you on time today. These are very important people that we need to meet, and we need to do our work diligently. So we are going to take our time. I once said we are prepared to work from one morning to the other morning. I named those hours as ungodly hours. We are here to work for South African Parliament. We are members of Parliament elected by the people. We are not workers, like workers under the labor relations that will work for 8 hours and ask for an overtime. We are to work 24 hours around the clock as members of Parliament. I welcome everybody. Hopefully that this day will be a very fruitful day for us all. We will be able to use the information that we are going to get to our satisfaction and to be able to correct what is wrong. But before we start, on agenda number 2, as I have already opened the meeting and welcomed you, agenda number 2 is the apologies. Do we have any apologies?
Madam Chair, the apologies we received is from Ms. Nobanda, who is off sick. Honorable Gordon, you won't be able to join us today. Honorable Zeli is having academic commitments. And Honorable Kwanko, I'm informed that he will also not be able to join us today.
Thank you very much. In our agenda, honorable members, it says we are going to start with corporate government into ESCOM and the board. We will listen to the board. But before we listen to the board, I am advised that there is a Mr. Mr. Minar, who is part of ESCOM, that we have to single out and question him alone before we include him within ESCOM, ESCOM board. The Advocate Vanara, are you going to lead us to Mr. Minar? There is Mr. Vanara. Oh, Honorable Swart?
Chair, I'm just a bit concerned. As you indicated, we're going to need a lot of time today, and I see we've only got until 2 o'clock with the board. We've now got another witness, which might be important, but I would appreciate your guidance. We might sit further into the afternoon with the board if necessary. Would that be your inclination as well?
Yes, Honorable Swart. I am aware that we might take long even with the first witness. So with the board, we envisage to see the board before lunch and after lunch and way after lunch and maybe towards the evening of today. If it comes to a push, we will go to that far.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Honorable Singh.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and good morning, everybody. Will the good advocate take us into the circumstances surrounding Mr. Manara, who he is, why he's here, etc., and why before Eskom? Will we hear that from him or from yourself?
No. Let us give the advocate the to lead us, because when he leads us, he starts with, can I speak, members, please, can you give me chance to speak? When the advocate starts introducing a witness to us, that he gives that witness a chance to explain who he or she is and give us all the background. Where did he work and how did he get to where he is today, and the involvement of him within the issues that we are up to appraise today. Thank you very much. Advocate, I'm giving over to you. I am reliably told that Mr. Minar will take an oath. Mr. Minar, can we know who is Mr. Minar? Mr. Minar, do you have the copy of the oath in front of you? Okay, I will read the oath to you, and then when you will take the oath at the end. In accordance with Section 16 of the Powers, Privileges and Immunities of Parliament and Provincial Legislatures Act 2004, as a witness to this oversight inquiry, please be informed that by law you are required to answer fully and satisfactorily all the questions lawfully put to you, or to produce any document that you are required to produce in connection with the subject matter that of the inquiry, notwithstanding the fact that the answer or the document could incriminate you or expose you to criminal or civil proceedings or damages. You are, however, protected in that evidence given under oath or affirmation before a house or a committee, or committee may not be used against you in any court or place outside Parliament, except in criminal proceedings concerning a charge of perjury or a charge relating to the evidence or documents required in these proceedings. Please be aware that in terms of Section 17, Subsection 2 of the Powers, Privileges and Immunities of Parliament and Provincial Legislature Act, a person who willfully furnishes a house or a committee with information or makes a statement before it which is false or misleading commits an offence and is liable to a fine or imprisonment for a period not exceeding two years. You are therefore required, as you have agreed, to take an oath that the evidence you are about to give is truthful. And now you are required to swear and take the oath. And after you've taken the oath, you'll sign the paper in front of you.
Thank you, Chair. I swear to the evidence, I shall give shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God. I solemnly affirm that the evidence that I shall give shall be the truth, the whole truth.
You take one, the oath only.
Okay.
Thank you very much. you sign the document, the paper that is in front of you, put the date, and yeah. Thank you very much, Mr. Minar. I will now give over to the evidence lead.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning to yourself, the honorable members, and guests to the committee, and colleagues. Mr. Minar, I understand that you did not prepare submission. Is that correct?
That is correct.
But that you do have documentation to back up your testimony. Is that correct?
That is correct, Advocate. I've got a record of events.
Please feel free to make reference to the documentation during your testimony. As indicated in the invitation to appear before the committee, yours is a very narrow issue that relates to Mr. Molefe's pension. Can you then, just for the record, state your full particulars?
To you, I'm Anton Minard. I've been working in Eskom for nearly 28 years. The last 17 years, I've kept the current position as executive support manager, providing an administrative function to the executive committee, what we call FBANs. I can get later into detail with that, and to the board.
Can you just explain to the committee the circumstances surrounding the pension arrangement that Eskom arranged for Mr. Molefe?
Chair, I can try and answer that for you, but would it help the committee if I maybe go just through a sequence of events from the appointment?
Yes.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I think on 3rd of April we received the letter from the Minister to the Chairman confirming the acting arrangements of...
Sorry. Can you just speak to the mic a bit?
Is that better like that?
Yes.
Pardon?
Honourable Moore, can you raise your hand when you want to raise something so that we all hear what
sorry,
you
Chair,
want to say?
If you're going to come by the mind with a year, if you're going to come by the mind with a year, April 2020, April, whatever. Yeah.
You may proceed, Mr. Mendoza.
Thank you, Chair. I will start again. On 20 April 2015, Mr. Molefe was seconded from Eskom, from Transnet to Eskom. I was not personally involved in a discussion with regards to the secondment to Eskom, and I had not sight of the contractual arrangements relating to the secondment. I was last requested to manage the payment due to the Transnet related to the secondment, and I was also informed by Secretariat at the time that the payment was based on actual cost based on his Transnet package, and that payments will be made as per the Transnet invoices. Chair, if you just allow me, I would maybe just mention to the committee as well that the function that we currently doing or that I'm part of is an exclusive function for the executive support department to provide administrative support to the Eskom board, the chief executive, the executive committee, and in addition to the above, all senior executives in the top grade category F, which we see as group executives, divisional executives, senior general managers, and that represents a total of around 24 people. The department's duty comprises the following activities. We do board remuneration and benefits. We're looking at executive F-band remuneration, F-band compact management for the short-term incentive scheme, and we also administer a long-term incentive scheme. We're involved in the executive recruitment process, where we are requested to, the exit and separation agreement. We've got a small executive health function and ad hoc support. And I think it's just important to mention in the 17 years of my tenure in this department, we have successfully provided the service to 7 chairmen and to 12 chief executives, of which 10 of them was in the last 10 years. I can then carry on to the 25th of September 2015. I was advised by Secretariat to appoint Mr. Molefe. The appointment was done on tax system. And then Eskom communicated with the Minister announcement on the 28th of September 2015. And I will provide the committee with annexures of everything if they request so. Then the discussion with the chairperson of the People and Governance Committee and the Governance Committee of the Board regarding the appointment of the Group Chief Executive and the remuneration. There was a request to draft a letter to the Minister for review. The letter was done based on a permanent employment, and it's important to note that all executives in Eskom are appointed as permanent contracts. This was also the understanding that he would be appointed on that basis. And I think it's important to mention at this time as well that the only way an executive can participate in Eskom benefits if he is appointed as a permanent employee. That would be the death benefit cover, group life cover, medical aid pension, and so forth. On 1st October, the formal appointment as Group Chief Executive with understanding was based on a full-time contract. On 2 October 2015, we received a letter from the Minister to the Chairman confirming the Chief Executive appointment, and there was no mention in that letter on a contract. On the 2nd of October, the same date as well, there was a letter from the Minister to Mr. Molefe confirming his appointment, and there was also no mention of a term contract. On 7th of October 2015, the discussion and present the standard F-band contract to the Chair of the People and Governance Committee. And on 7 October, the discussion with the Chairperson of the People and Governance Committee on the contract issue for both Mr. Molefe and also the Chief Executive, because the Minister at that stage requested that the Chief Financial Officer also be appointed on a five-year contract, as apparently requested by Cabinet. I was specifically requested to look at the precedents that have been set in the past, and also on the possible retirement and other benefits. On 16 October, a letter from a minister from the chairman requesting approval of the remuneration. And on 19 October 2015, a further discussion with the chairperson of the People and Governance Committee on the contract issue for both Mr. Molefe and the chief executive and the possibility for retirement and other benefits. On 1 November 2015, the standard draft permanent employment contract was presented to the chairperson of the People and Governance Committee for consideration, and this was also shared with Mr. Molefe. On 1 November 2015, the Minister responded to a letter of 16 October 2015 where she approved the remuneration as we requested, and that was based on a total guaranteed package. She further advised and expressed her view that the period of employment be stipulated as 5 years, subject to the annual performance review. The 5 years was also apparently a view of Cabinet. The letter we received a month after the appointment, and our officers received the letter on 9 November 2015. On 9 November 2015, I was informed by the chairperson of the People and Governance Committee that the Minister instructed the Board that the contract must be based on a fixed 5-year term. This was also discussed with the Company Secretary. I drafted the new appointment letters reflecting the term. Again on 9 November, the appointment letter based on a fixed term was given to the Company Secretary and signed by the Chairman on the same date. On 11 November 2015, Mr. Molefe signed the appointment letter. This letter did not state the specific term. On 16 November 2015, the retirement issue was discussed between Mr. Molefe and the Chairman, which I was not part of. I was requested by the Chairperson of the People and Governance Committee to identify the benefits, for example, early retirement, that could be considered should Mr. Molefe's contract not be renewed, and to ensure that he is not penalised with this term. On 16 November 2015, I phoned the client relation manager at the Eskom Pension and Provident Fund to find out if Mr. Molefe will be able to retire. I was well aware of the age 50 rule 10-year service, as additional year service could be bought. I was, however, not sure if service can be bought if the individual did not have 10 years service. I think, Chair, on this whole thing is that we deal with a pension fund, but we're not experts on a pension fund, so we cannot act on our own. We have to act from an instruction from a pension fund, otherwise we don't know what to do and present forward. Now, Eskom's got a normal retirement at age 65. You can also early retire at 63 without any penalties. Then they've got a special arrangement that you can retire at age 55, but you will be penalised and you won't get additional year service. Then there's a specific rule, the Rule 28, which I think the pension fund also presented here, is that it is early retirement, age 50, but you must have 10 years service. Now, we were very clear about that. I presented that to the chairperson of the People and Governance Committee as well, and I was requested to find out if there's other options that we can consider in buying years forward, which we've never done before. I then contacted the client liaison officer at the Eskom Pension Fund and asked them if it can be done, which they confirmed in a letter as well that it can be done. That information I then took to the People and Governance Committee in presentation for their consideration and see if they want to act it. It's just important to mention as well that Mr. Molefe's birthday is in December. So if your contract expires in 5 years' time, it would expire in October and it would be 54. So he still wouldn't be able to retire under the normal rule of 55. So the only way he could retire was if Rule 28 could be applied. The Eskom Pension and Provident Fund liaison manager may declare that the service can be bought without having 10-year service, and those penalties can be waived within the rules of the fund. And it's very important, Eskom cannot instruct the fund to do anything. The fund has to tell us if it is possible, and then we can act on it. 18 November 2015, I forwarded a request for calculation of potential costs to the Eskom Pension Provident Fund, as I need to provide the chairperson of the People and Governance with feedback by 20 November 2015. The calculation was still at that stage based at 855. On 20 November 2015, I request the Eskom Pension Fund client relation manager to provide me with possible monthly estimate, as requested by the chairperson of the People and Governance Committee. 20 November as well, the issue of early retirement was discussed with the People and Governance Committee members. I informed the chairperson of the People and Governance Committee that it would be important to get ministerial input on this issue before we finalise the issues on retirement. I drafted a letter to the minister, the one that's been referred to from our side, to the chairperson of the People and Governance Committee for review, for inputs and discussed. That letter was later signed by the chairperson of the board, and it was given to the minister, and they accepted as well. I think the reason why we raised it is the first time that we actually worked with a five-year term contract, and contracts got major implications. And from our understanding was permanent, and I thought it would just be important that the minister is aware of the retirement arrangements that we're trying to calculate for Mr. Molefe, as he's been moving over and over, so he didn't have actually time to build up a pension either. 25 November, I finalised a letter for the minister, the discussion with the chairperson, that was signed by the chairman, as I mentioned, delivered through the secretariat to the minister, which acknowledged receipt thereof. On 10 December 2015, I request the fund again to provide us with actual values on the issue needed to be finalised with the minister. My understanding was there was discussions with the minister. 21 December 2015, I followed up with another mail to the EPPF requesting recalculation values in order to discuss with the minister. I was under the impression that these discussions happened. 19 January 2016, I mailed the confirmation of the estimated amount to the chairperson of the People and Governance Committee, and at that stage the estimated amount was in the region of 25 million. 19 January 2016, in a separate mail, I referred to the outstanding items that need to be discussed at the next People and Governance Committee. One of them was no feedback on the retirement issues from the department, and that there was no contract in place, which is unfair to the chief executive being working for that period without a contract as well. There was no contract in place at that time. 9 February 2016, the People and Governance Committee resolved that early retirement will be approved within the rules of the fund, with the benefit of buying 10 years plus additional years service should the person not have it. The presentation on early retirement with separation benefit is reflected also in the annexures, and the resolution on early retirement with separation benefits is also reflected if the committee wants it or they didn't want to have seen it. I prepared a discussion document for the company secretary, Ms. Daniels, to discuss with the minister. I raised the issue of retirement again in section B. One, I have received no feedback on the outcome of that discussions. On 7 March 2016, the contract was drafted, earlier awaiting feedback from the minister, and that was only signed in March 2016. On 27 June 2016, I was also requested to look at the CFO contract on how we can possibly improve it. I advised the chairperson of the People and Governance Committee that he was under the age of 50 and that he only would be requested if we can extend the contract, so there was no way that he could be able to ever retire. On 18 August 2016, request the EPPF again to do calculations for us at age 15. All those mail communications I can provide the committee with. And on 27 September 2016, the pension issue of the Group Chief Executive and CFO was discussed at the PNG, People and Governance Committee, as a follow-up item that arose from the board. The extension of the CFO contract was also discussed. I was not present at that meeting, but I can also confirm that a contract of the CEO was never extended. On 6 September 2016, it was decided to increase the, on 24 October 2016, the ratification of the additional awards was provided at the People and Governance Committee. Sorry about that. And then on 11 November, Mr. Molefe requested early retirement in a letter to the chairman. He also attached a resolution of the board approving the separation benefits for early retirement. On 14 November 2016, I mailed the chairperson of the People and Governance Committee again the rationale from the People and Governance Committee approval on the early retirement. I also included the presentation of the chief executive moves over the last 9 years. On 15 November,
Mr. Minard, can you hold on a little bit? Members, you see how fast Mr. Minar is reading and is going through the documents. I am not sure if you are comfortable with that, so that I leave him to go through that, or you understand what he is doing. Because if you do not understand, you will not be able to engage on what he is saying. Honorable Swart, Honorable Williams.
Chair, it is a bit quick. I'm trying to take short notes. I'm not catching the dates. For example, it was 27 September 2016, 24 October, then was the next date, 11 November after that. So I think, may I suggest through you that we just go a little bit slower. There's a lot of facts here, and we need to take notes so that we can engage in this process going forward. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, Chair, he is too quick, but we are forced to run after him. Most of that, he is dealing with matters that we are familiar with. We are taking just advantage of that. Well, this is, it's not new, but really, he is on the run. He is on the run. If he can get a bit slower in order that we connect the dots, because there is a lot of dots that he's bringing about.
Honorable Kungu Bell.
Chair, if it is possible, I don't know how quick that would happen, because he's not the first. The problem is that you are looking for consistency and collaboration on these issues. What he's presenting is not the first time we interface with it. But already, as you speak, you pick up some differences between what you had before and what he is saying. Now, if you don't have that document, and at the speed that he's been moving, it's difficult to follow and do comparison. And I'm not sure how quick it possible it is to have that copy. Well, I think because we're not playing, this is very serious. We don't want to have him for formality purposes. Otherwise, if it works like this, it will be a mere formality.
I'm not sure how thick is that document that you have in front of you, Mr. Minar. Can we take a 10-minute break for a quick printing and distributing of that? Is it possible? Do we agree, members? Okay, thank you very much. The one he was reading out of, is it a note, is it a pad that you wrote, or is this...
Chairperson, I must just mention that this wasn't a preparation for this committee meeting. It's merely a sequence of events. So when the process started with Mr. Molefe, our officers just collated all the documents because there's some investigations that happened, and this was merely just to provide a file that if they need copies to make easy reference to it.
No, I think this document will be fine for the members. Then we will be able to follow the sequence of events and be able to respond to issues that we need, that needs our attention. Honorable Luyeng.
Yeah, most importantly, are this sequence of events. It's very important that we follow them, Chair. But I also want to make a clarion call, Chair. If you can assist us by... No, not yet. We're still here. Don't rush. Chair, I just wanted to make a clarion call. Maybe you can assist us by ensuring that all those presenters that are going to come, no matter whether it is a minute or 10 minutes or 5 minutes, can we have those the documents or anything that they are going to present so that we have prior...
This is Eskom board that is going to follow after the Mr. Minar. And those that are coming after them, I think the documents are supposed to be being prepared. This one is because the arrangement was a last-minute arrangement for him to give us this this information. That is why we do not have the documents with us. Honorable Kungu Bell and Honorable Swart.
Just a general statement, Chair, for all witnesses. You see, it appears I discovered this when I was looking for documentation, talking to the staff. It appears that a number of witnesses, Chair, tend to give documents very late. But whenever a witness is not ready, we are prepared to wait. But when the witness is ready and they want us to run on documentation that has not been properly read, and I think we need to engage so that there's a balance that is fair between us and the witnesses. Because it's of no use that you tell us you're not ready, and we stand back, we wait for you to get ready, and you want to ambush us when we are not ready to deal with your documentation. I'm not talking about Mr. Munar in this. It's a general comment that I think needs to be followed up very strictly.
Your hand was... After you, it would be Honorable Luyen.
Chair, I understand Mr. Munar has been ready to give evidence, and it's a pity we haven't got his document. And I was not aware that he'd be called this morning, but I understand it's part of the board. But is it fair to the whole board that they are now waiting whilst we are dealing with the witness? And maybe we should try and expedite it as quickly as possible, because I was under the impression we're going to start with the board. Now, I understand we are hearing from a member for elucidation purposes, but we've taken the decision, and I think we need to try to expedite it as quickly as possible. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Mr. Swart. Mr. Swart, we were expecting the board last week. We invited a board a week before last, not last week, and we were prepared to wait for the board. The board should be prepared to wait for us. I think that is fair enough. Thank you very much. We are on 10 minutes break starting from now. Sorry, honorable members, it looks like Honorable Luyenga was not finished. Somebody ambushed him.
I was on the issue of documents, Chairperson, because it's not for the first time that we made a plea that we get these documents earlier. Maybe we might not understand fairly well as to who the source of the documents is. Are these documents sourced from the presenters, or they are coming from our management, from the committee? Because if they are coming from the committee, there is nothing that stops us from getting those documents earlier. But if they are sourced from them, is it impossible on their part to provide us the documentation as early as they possibly can?
In my understanding, Honorable Luyenge, the documents are coming from the witnesses. The witnesses interact with their lawyers. So it is them that are giving us late the documents. Maybe it is lawful for them to do so. I don't know. But we have asked for the documents long ago. Even when we started with this inquiry, we asked for documents to be given to us in good time. This is not the first exercise that we are doing. We have been doing this consistently as these members of this committee. Can we go on our 10 minutes break? According to my phone, it's 10:03. 10:13 should be back.
Thank you. I like to see that.
Thank you.